Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. It's quarter one of our show. And Jeff, let me start with this. You, my friend, have been pushing for more Bo Prabula for about a season and a half. You got your wish last week. What do you have to say for yourself now?
Worked out pretty well. A little shaky at the start, admittedly, but worked out pretty well. And now we'll see how everything transpires this Saturday, whether or not we see more Prabula or whether Aller is able to go. But regardless, it's always exciting when Penn State plays an Ohio State University.
Not the Ohio State University?
Well, they're playing one of those Ohio State universities, I think, this week. Is that not right?
I have to look it up to be sure, Jeff. I wasn't too sure. It is. It is the Ohio State University from out of Columbus, Ohio. Jeff, before we get started in this week's game, just again, you were a huge advocate of seeing more Bo Prabula. I know you weren't looking for it in this way with Drew Aller going down with an injury, but I do want to get your take on his performance last week. As you mentioned, maybe started out a little shaky to begin with, but moving along, it seemed like not just that he settled down, but it felt like Andy Kotelnicki kind of got the rhythm with him also in the play calling.
Yeah, and I think, I've loved the way – I haven't been advocating for more Prabula this year. I think they've used him very well and very wisely, and that's what I wanted last year, is just that change of pace, get him in there in situations that make sense. But listen, I do think, he brings – he's obviously a different style of quarterback, and I think both styles can be very effective. I think it is especially effective when you have both styles and – you're forcing defenses to get ready for both. And I do think it keeps Ohio State coaches busy this week in terms of trying to prepare for both. But listen, I think Prabula did a great job once he settled down of running the offense. And I thought Andy Kotelnicki did a great job of putting him in position to have success. And, I think this offense, as we've been talking about, Jim, just has so many different ways it can beat you, so many different options, and it's going to be different in the way Bo Prabula can beat you versus the way Drew Aller can beat you. But again, I think they both can be very effective, and I think his accuracy was impressive Saturday night against Wisconsin, and I think it's going to be critically important to whoever's at quarterback that accuracy is there against Ohio State, because this is an outstanding secondary and linebacking core that Penn State will be facing.
Jeff, I thought it was interesting, not just the accuracy of his throws, but I'll say he demonstrated, let's call it the guts, to throw it into some pretty small windows and be successful with it. And I wasn't sure that we would see that kind of I know he's a confident kid, but I wasn't sure we would see that kind of confidence in him in throwing the ball.
I do think the experience he picked up throughout the course of this season and a little bit last year, but I really think the way he's played this year had a lot to do with that. And I also think it is a strong indicator that the coaches – and therefore the quarterbacks rightfully have some confidence in this receiving core being able to go make some plays for them. Because, when you put the ball in those tight windows, you need receivers that can go catch the ball. You start bobbling balls in situations like that, and that's where you get the turnovers. And so, yeah, I think it was impressive by Prabula. I think it was impressive by Kotelnicki having the confidence again, to call the plays that they did. But I also think it was important that the receivers, more often than not, came down with the ball, made the plays for your quarterback. And, you know, it was reminiscent, and I realize I'm not the first person. I think I'm probably in the hundreds of people now, maybe thousands this week, that have pointed out the comparison. But it does remind you of Trace McSorley and what he did in that 2016 season. And I remember we had some discussions with people, especially national people. They're like, man, it just seems like he gets lucky. I'm like, well, at some point, like, you can't just chalk it up to luck. But yeah, he did. He threw the ball up and let his receivers go make plays for him. And, you know, I think you have to have confidence that your receivers can do that before you're willing to throw those types of balls. And it paid off in a big way, certainly in the second half in Madison.
Well, wearing number 9 also doesn't hurt in making that Trace McSorley comparison. All right, now, the counterpart to this is the reason why he got the opportunity to play was Drew Aller injured his knee, did that at the end of the first half in the game against Wisconsin. When he came back after halftime, Jeff, it looked like this, the doctors cleared him that, hey, if he feels okay to play, he could play. It seemed like it was his call not to play.
Yeah, I think you have to trust what you're feeling. And if you're not able to throw the ball, plant your foot, and follow through the way you need to be able to play quarterback at this level, you have to be honest with your coaches and with yourself about it. It's one thing to try to play the role of hero. It's another to recognize, hey, this is what I'm able to do or not able to do. And again, it helps when you have a Bo Pabula who can come in and play the way he did on Saturday night and the confidence in him. And as far as, you know, what happens here Saturday afternoon, again, you have to trust what the coaches are seeing in practice and what Drew Aller is telling you. And I have no way of knowing that, but obviously Saturday morning, if they go out in the field and Aller's telling them, listen, I can't follow through, then it makes no sense to put him out there or, you know, can't stabilize that back plant foot without, you know, feeling confident about it. Again, the good news is you have Bo Pribula. And by the way, as your change of pace, Tyler Warren in there for particular situations and spots, not the worst place to be if you're Penn State.
No, it is not. And I think it's worth pointing out, I didn't think about this, Jeff, until I was watching the replay of last week's game. After he was sacked, that hurt the knee, the next pass he threw was the worst pass he threw the entire half. Yeah. So, you know, and at the time, not aware of the injury, didn't really think about that. Watching it in replay, watching closely the play where he twisted his knee, it was like, oh, okay, maybe that's why that next pass was an issue. Do you see a world now where in this game we might see more Bo Pribula, that this might be a less than 100% Drew Aller, still able to play, but to offload some of the risk with a tender knee, we might actually see more Bo Pribula than we typically do?
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how this is handled by Andy Kotelnicki and James Franklin and the staff. If Aller is, in fact, able to go, but, yeah, not 100%, can't move the way, you know, we're used to seeing him, and that's been an important component of his game this season. Again, he might not be a running quarterback per se, but, boy, he has gotten some important yards with his legs, and he's really done a nice job of buying time for some of the bigger pass plays with his ability to move in the pocket or slide out of the pocket. And so, you know, those are all important factors, and I think they have to honestly assess that as they get ready for the game on Saturday. You know, it always amuses me when people start with the, well, if he's 75% or 85%, I don't know what that means. I don't know. Well, Drew Aller's out there at 91.3%. Okay, I don't know. Like, can he move laterally? And can he, you know, if you need, have enough speed to get the 5-yard chunk if it's there. The coaches have to make that determination, and Aller has to make that determination along with the medical team. If he can't, but he can still throw the ball, then yeah, I think you're probably a little more selective. I don't know exactly how that would work, but to me, if you had 5 yards or less to go for a first down, maybe it would make more sense in those situations to put Prabula in there. But I think a large part of it is just the feel that the coaches have for how these two guys are practicing. I mean, it sounds like they're both getting, according to James Franklin, a lot of reps this week. I just have to see how that plays out. I don't know without seeing what's happening in practice that anybody can make any kind of definitive statement on, hey, this is how much Prabula needs to play, or this is how much Aller needs to play. I think a lot of it is just going to be a feel. And it may even be just, hey, let's see how this game is going. When Prabula is in there, is it causing additional problems for the Ohio State defense because he's able to get outside of the containment? A bunch of different things that can come into play. I think you just have to wait and see both how practices played out this week and then how the game itself starts to play out here on Saturday.
And I think you mentioned, you know, his mobility to get around. I think it's, can he plant and throw the ball the way he normally would? I think that might be the biggest variable. And you mentioned James Franklin, what he has to say. Jeff, I often have issues with James Franklin and how he talks to the media about injuries. James, it doesn't matter if the third string left guard is going to be healthy or not. It does not change the opposing team's strategy. However, this week with the quarterback issue, I don't blame him, and I'm not listening to a word he says.
Agreed on all counts. And yes, keep Ohio State guessing. And actually with Donka and with Deni Dennis Sutton as well, I think playing all that stuff as close to the vest as you can makes sense from Penn State's perspective. And again, we'll see how it all plays out. One of the more remarkable things to me, though, Jim, is that you can have all of these injuries that Penn State has and feel confident, and I do, that KJ Winston obviously is out. If all of these other guys that we're talking about don't play Saturday, I'm like, this still should be a fun game and a good competitive game. Let's see how it goes.
I do want to hit on that, Jeff, because I think both the offensive and defensive lines have both shown some depth. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. We are talking all things Penn State football leading up to the big matchup Saturday at noon with Ohio State. Home game. And Jeff, you had brought up the couple other injuries going on with Penn State. Anthony Donka, right tackle, Deni Dennis Sutton, defensive end, both went out with injuries in the Wisconsin game. And you had already mentioned, I think that we're seeing some of that depth. Nolan Rucci comes in. This is why he was brought in the portal. For this very occurrence. On the defensive side, I think on this defensive line, we're finding that at defensive end, Amin Vanover and Smith Vilbert are not bad secondary options.
Yeah, I do think it is worth noting and giving James Franklin and this staff a lot of credit. is the depth that this team has amassed. And I think James Franklin has done a good job of looking around college football, accurately assessing that one of the issues that was keeping Penn State from being elite, to go back to the infamous press conference, was the overall depth not being what it needs to be in contention with the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world and even the Ohio States of the world. And so I think they have done a great job of that, and in particular along the offensive and defensive lines, and then obviously at quarterback, that those are critical positions to build some depth. And I think Penn State has that. You know, you arguably lost your best guy in the secondary in KJ Winston early in the season. You know, Danai Dennis Sutton is probably second only to Abdul Carter on the line. The fact that you can lose, you know, and Drew Aller, one of the top quarterbacks in all of college football, the fact that you could lose those types of individuals for the biggest game of the year and not be in panic mode and not feel like your team has no chance with all of those guys out, to me, speaks volumes about just how good the depth is and that, you know, the job that Penn State has done in addressing that issue. And so obviously you're hoping all of these guys end up playing on Saturday, but again, even if none of them play, you don't sit here. I don't sit here and think that, well, there goes Penn State's chances. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a little more difficult for sure, but yeah, I like Penn State's odds nonetheless. And, you know, part of it too is Ohio State has its own injuries, and the offensive tackle depth there is certainly being tested for the Buckeyes here.
Yes. And you mentioned about having the depth and just feeling a little more comfortable. I didn't think I could feel comfortable. I felt like Drew Aller could be the difference between this year's Penn State team and previous ones, that he could make plays that some other guys can't. To all of a sudden feel like, well, if he's not in there, maybe we see something from Bo Prabhula. Now, maybe that is being overly optimistic on my part to feel that way, and I'm overreacting. But I think we've seen from Bo Prabhula enough, and I even wonder, you know, going up against an Ohio State defense, having that quarterback who is such a threat to run the ball, if I'm Ohio State's defense, yes, I know what the arm talent of Drew Aller, but Bo Prabhula kind of scares me too.
I think there's no question about that, and especially with the different options he has just in terms of running the ball. Obviously, he is a threat himself, but you have Tyler Warren. You obviously have Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. There's a lot of different ways that this team can disguise, this team being Penn State, can disguise things and make it, again, just that hesitation for the Ohio State defense. And I think, you know, one of the keys for this game on Saturday is Penn State being able to run the ball effectively. Well, this gives you now another way that you can effectively run the ball with Bo Prabhula and not just relying on the running back. So I just think, and if you look at Ohio State and they're not unusual in this, but I do think running quarterbacks make it more difficult for defenses, even dominating defenses, to be able to kind of go all out, because you can't just fly in on the quarterback, because if you miss on that initial and you have a running quarterback on that initial attempt, again, it can lead to a really big play on a broken play. Where if you have the quarterback who's standing in that pocket, it's more of a, hey, we get a free shot here if we can get the pressure to him.
I think, Jeff, it also affects Penn State's running game. If you're focused on the running back too much, Bo Prabhula could run the ball. I think it frees up Catron Allen and Nick Singleton also.
Yeah, I do too, and I also think it helps with the tight ends and the quick hitting pass plays, those quick slants and stuff. Because again, if you're a defense, if you're Bo Prabula and you know you do a little play action and then you take just a step forward or a step to your right or left and you lower those shoulders, well, you have to respect that if you're Ohio State. Oh man, this might be a run. Nope. And again, if it's a quick hitting pass play, there's not that split second hesitation. I mean, you just need that split second and you can get a ball downfield 5-6 yards, whether it's to a receiver or a tight end. And, you know, if you can get 5-6 yard chunk plays consistently against a team like Ohio State, you're certainly going to take it. And I think it's going to bode well for your chances to pull out the win.
And particularly when it's 3rd and 4 and you could get that kind of game. But it's also a case where with Bo Prabula, you could run a true triple option type of play where my options are giving it to Nick Singleton, quarterback keeping it, or quarterback throwing the ball, and specifically to Tyler Warren. That's 3 very good weapons that you potentially can use on one play. Jeff, I want to circle back to what you were talking about with the depth. And I know defensively, we look at the defensive end, and I mentioned Amin Vanover and Smith Vilbert filling in for Denai Dennis Sutton if he can't play. But and in the middle with the tackles, I always feel like the defensive tackles get forgotten. And I think Zane Durant is very much making a name for himself. But where in the world did this Alonzo Ford come from and show up in this Wisconsin game making 2 really athletic plays for a guy his size? Well, and he's like the 5th tackle, by the way.
Yes, and this is another one of those things, and I think James Franklin talks about it, and with any football season, any team, one of the things that you want to see as a coaching staff, as fans, as a program, is the ongoing, continuing development, right? Like you certainly don't want to be the same team week 8 that you were week 1. That would be a horrible job of coaching and development. And so part of it is, and frankly, I think it's talked about this a couple times in recent weeks, is, yeah, we're going to see some guys who have played themselves into being players worthy of being on the field. They're good enough now. They have a good enough understanding. It's not just the athleticism, but it's, man, now I get it. Conceptually, I understand what it is we're trying to do defensively. I see where it is I need to be. I get the technique that needs to be used on a run play or a pass play. And it's all of those things. And when they come together, and it comes together different times for different players, but then it's like, oh, okay, the light goes on and here we go. And I think you're seeing that with several players, and certainly Ford was a shining example on Saturday night. But I think this is, again, another very good sign about the way this staff is coaching up, not just the starters, not just the guys that we're seeing week in and week out, but the overall roster. And when we talk about depth, again, it's not just that you're going out and you're recruiting, a 4-star or a 5-star guy or a 3-star that you think is a diamond in the rough. It is, all right, you get those guys and then you get them to buy into what you're doing with the weight system and with all of the different components. And then you're coaching them up so that, hey, all right, this is how we can use you and your skills within our system. And this is the way our system can benefit you. And you try to get that match. And I think this staff as a whole and this program deserves a lot of credit for the way it is getting these guys to, number one, buy in to everything they're doing. And then number two, allowing that development to pay off both for the player and for the team and the program at large.
And I think what gets lost sometimes in all of this, Jeff, is James Franklin over time is putting together a really good staff. Okay. Forget the coordinators for a second. How about just talk, when we talk about the offensive line and defensive line, maybe we should be talking about Troutwine and Barnes also.
No question about it. And when you talk to the players, they'll tell you about the importance of Troutline and Barnes, that's for sure. And again, part of this is just the familiarity now. I know it's two new coordinators, and but I think Barnes, with the history here of the program, and Troutline being able to kind of establish himself within the program and understanding the talent he has and the talent that he has under him, understanding what it is he wants to do and how he's developing these guys. And you're seeing that it benefit, again, the individuals and the team as a whole. I just think all of this, it's important. We talk about football being the ultimate team sport, and it is in so many different ways. And I just think you're seeing the fruits of the labor right now of a bunch of people that are all working really hard, but are also pulling in the same direction. Like it's one thing, everybody could be working their tails off, but if you're not all understanding, hey, this is what we're working toward, or this is why we're doing this, it can be much more difficult. It feels like there is kind of complete buy-in across the board here, and complete understanding that, yep, this is the way we're pulling the boat here, and everybody's on board rowing in that same direction. And I think it's a big deal.
All right, that's it for quarter number two. We're going to talk Ohio State when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy cafe tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three of our show. Jeff, were you kind of bringing out your inner PJ Fleck there? Row the boat, man.
You know that if nothing else, I am synonymous with PJ Fleck and our overall life philosophies. So absolutely.
Okay. PJ Fleck, Jeff Byers, row the boat. Before we get into a closer look at the Ohio State team, I wanted to mention one more thing. We, in quarter number two, we're talking about Alonzo Ford and his play against Wisconsin. And one thing I want to mention here is James Franklin, who, by the way, his holding off on talking about injuries at all, sometimes, Jeff, I just can't handle it. Just tell us what's going on a little bit. Tell it's a leg injury. Just tell us something there. And stop being so coy, okay? But with that said, Jeff, where I will give James Franklin credit, and I think we need to pay attention more, when he brings up a player's name that nobody in the media is asking about, but he just chooses to bring it up, we've got to pay attention, because he's talked about Alonzo Ford. He has told us about this guy. And I think a lot of people, yeah, whatever, James. I think we got to start paying attention to him when he does that.
No question. I agree with that. And I do think it's fun when you see a player kind of emerge during the season. And I think it's exciting for fans and obviously for coaches to see that. But I think it's fun for the players too, to see teammates that are, you know, busting their tail in practice, get rewarded for it and get the opportunity to contribute more as the season goes along. And, you know, I think when you have that team philosophy that I think Penn State has, and I think these guys have bought into, it's fun because when you see other guys rejoicing in the success of teammates, that is, that's when you know you have the buy-in. When you see somebody or, you know, even the families, like up in the stands, the players' families are like, yeah, man, we want to see that guy because we know him and we know that, you know, he's a guy that's putting in the time and we want to see it rewarded. That's when you kind of know you have the buy-in that you're looking for to give yourself a chance to have a championship type of program.
You're right. It is good to see a guy that you weren't counting on, and I'm talking about as a fan base, and see one of those players excel like we saw from Alonzo Ford last week. All right, let's shift our focus a bit to Ohio State. And they came into this season, Jeff, with the reputation of being perhaps the most talented team in the country. I'm not sure that the loss to Oregon changed anybody's mind on that. You traveling to the West Coast, we've all heard that statistic in the Big Ten. You travel a couple time zones, it can be really difficult. We saw Penn State struggling with USC, still managed to come out with the win. Ohio State against Oregon, they weren't able to do it. But Jeff, what we saw last week from them against Nebraska, was that a real chink in the armor we're actually seeing with this Ohio State team?
So I wouldn't overreact to it because I do think there was something to Ohio State overlooking that game a bit. And I think given Nebraska's result the week before, and you know the Penn State game is looming, it is understandable. And I think, you know, that game had – I know there was a lot of talk for Penn State about Wisconsin being a trap game. I just think – Wisconsin had Penn State's full attention. Wisconsin had won three straight. They were looking like a much better football team. You're going into a night atmosphere at Madison. You have Ohio State looming, and yeah, Wisconsin isn't as big a game as that on paper, but it wasn't, and there was so much talk about it, and you had 2 weeks to get ready. I just think from the more likely scenario for a team overlooking another was that Ohio State Nebraska matchup, because again, Nebraska laid an egg the week before. You know, Ohio State's kind of rolling along here. I think Ohio State inside that locker room, they feel like they were the better team, and you know, if the clock is handled in their minds the right way down the stretch, they come out of there with the W at Oregon and all of that. So, I don't want to overreact to it. I also do think that Nebraska did expose some potential problem areas here for the Buckeyes. And I do think it's something that Penn State will take note of. And I think it's going to be interesting over four quarters. You know, we've been talking about it, Jim. I think this is the most physical team James Franklin has had here at Penn State, and in particular up front, both on the offensive and defensive lines. And I think, you know, this is the game where that needs to show. This is the game where you need to see that physicality. And, you know, if not necessarily overpower Ohio State, at least hold your own and let the playmakers go make some plays for you.
There were in that game some shocking statistics with Ohio State's inability to run the ball. It was shocking. I think they averaged less than 3 yards per carry, even with those star running backs. It caused me to look up and see how they did for the season. Well, Judkins averages 6.4 yards a carry and Anderson 7.2. So was this a one-game anomaly or an actual issue for Ohio State to run the ball consistently?
Yeah, I just I mean, not any great shock, but I think this game is largely going to come down to, who can grind out the tough yards here and there. I'm expecting kind of both teams will make some big plays here and there, but I think Penn State ought to feel going into this game like it can hold its own at least physically at the line of scrimmage. And I think if they do that, when you look at the running backs they have, when you look at Bo Prabula, Tyler Warren, the whole package, I think this is a tough matchup for Ohio State. And I, you know, I still think Ohio State is like man for man. If you go down the roster, I still think that's a, as talented, if not a more talented team than any roster in college football. But so often this game comes down to matchups. And I just, I think for one of the few times in recent memory, going into the game, I think Penn State matches up really well. I don't think it's a situation where Penn State just has to play out of its mind good to have a chance. And Penn State, by the way, has done that pretty consistently, where it's played its best game against Ohio State, even in the years where it's come up short. But I really think if Penn State does that here Saturday afternoon in Beaver Stadium, they have a better than excellent chance of coming out on top.
You speak of matchups. I think, Jeff, where we can focus is we talked about Penn State's defensive line with or without Denai Dennis Sutton. There's a lot of star power there and a lot of depth. It's the offensive line of Ohio State that will could potentially struggle. They had an injury to their left tackle who's out for the year. The backup tackle got burned very badly in the game against Nebraska, and now he's hurting and questionable for this game. Talking matchups, that may be where Penn State has an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, certainly on paper going into it, you're hoping Penn State can exploit that. It will be interesting to see how Ohio State, I mean, they're obviously aware of it as well. It'll be interesting to see what they do to try to cover that up, to try to set things up to have success despite that what appears to be a pretty significant matchup advantage for Penn State. And this is where, you know, that chess game always comes into play in games like this. And, you know, one of the reasons I really like Penn State's chances, even against arguably the most talented roster in college football, is this coaching staff. I just think they have a real knack for knowing how to put these players in the right position, in the right spots, and make adjustments as the game goes along. Penn State has very consistently, obviously, put together impressive third quarters and second halves as a whole. And really, they've been very impressive in the second quarter, for that matter, as well. Ohio State certainly has an elite coaching staff as well. I think it's going to be fun to see, all right, what are the adjustments these two teams are making? You know, how is Penn State trying to attack that advantage? What is Ohio State doing to counter it? And then what does Penn State do to react to whatever Ohio State is doing? The games within the games are always interesting, I think. This week they are going to be especially fascinating and just fun to watch. Again, these are the games that you really do like to watch because you can see so many different ways that it can play out, and it really is going to come down to, all right, who are the guys that go out and make plays in the clutch in this particular game on this particular Saturday?
Are you concerned about Penn State's slow starts that we've seen, which seems to be a trend now?
I'm not overly concerned about that. You know, for one thing, they consistently keep coming back, and again, they figure it out. Now, are you hoping they get off to a good start this Saturday? Of course. Do you want to dig yourself a hole against a team like Ohio State? No. But again, if Penn State falls down 10-0, is anybody in Beaver Stadium going to be like, oh man, no, here we go, no way. No way out. No, it's like, okay, well, this is what we do. Time to go to work. And, you know, conversely, if they do get off to that good start, all of a sudden, I think there's a ton of confidence on that side. And I do think that pressure starts getting felt a little more on the Ohio State sideline, where it really is national title or bust this season.
Well, this ability to come back, it's reminiscent of, Jeff, that 2016 team where, remember the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin where they were down, what, 2-3 touchdowns, and the feeling was, oh, well, they'll just come back in the second half. Why? Because they always do, and you had that confidence, and it happened very quickly. All right, Jeff, when we come back, I want to start out by asking you, which coach has the most pressure on him in this game? Because I think both of them do. We'll find out from you who has more pressure when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. Jeff, a lot of conversations year after year, it's about James Franklin. Can't get over the hump, can't beat Ohio State, can't beat Michigan, can't do better than 10-2. Well, he's undefeated going into this game. Not an unusual circumstance for him, but he still has the pressure on him to get over that hurdle. Ryan Day, meanwhile, best college team money could buy, perhaps most talent in the country with that. My question, though, is who's got more pressure on him, Ryan Day or James Franklin?
Yeah, to me, it's not even close, and it's Ryan Day by a mile. And there's a couple of reasons for it. I understand the Penn State-Ohio State thing and the aggravation of Penn State fans, and there's no question there's the national narrative, and it's an accurate narrative. Penn State can't get over the hump here against Ohio State. But there's a couple of things in play. I was asked on a local morning show that we do up here, why hasn't Penn State been able to beat Ohio State? And my answer was, well, because Ohio State's been the better team pretty much every year. Like, if you look at the – James Franklin does a great job recruiting. He doesn't do as good a job as Ohio State. They do a great job, both programs, with development. But, again, Ohio State has the most money at its disposal in all of college football. They are consistently bringing in top five classes. Penn State consistently is bringing in 10 to 15 ranked classes, which is really good, but it's not as good as top five classes. So to me, it's not any great secret. It's like, well, yeah, the team that has more talent is more consistently winning. I don't find this to be terribly shocking at the end of the day. So this is the reason I think there is virtually no pressure, despite the Ohio State stigma, I guess, if you will, with James Franklin. And that is, at the start of this season, the demand and the expectation for Penn State fans was we've got to be part of the 12-team playoff, right? Like, we've expanded this now to 12 teams. This has to be our opportunity this season, and we need to cash in on it. From Ohio State's perspective, and Penn State loses this game, even if it's they lose handily, and I don't see that. I don't think this will be a blowout either way. But Penn State loses this game, and they're very much – they just need to take care of business down the stretch and win out, and they are in the college football playoffs. Ohio State, this season is national title or bust. The expectation in Columbus was undefeated, running the table, beating everybody, steamrolling most. And certainly Penn State is a game they take for granted. It's, well, yeah, it might be a close game, but that's just what we do. We beat Penn State. You lose this game, that's your second loss of the regular season. Now, I will argue against myself here in that, guess what? Ohio State loses this game. They still control their own destiny, and the national title is still right in front of them, because a two-loss Ohio State team, with those two losses being to an undefeated Oregon and an undefeated Penn State that'll both be in the top three, they're still going to the college football playoffs, And that is certainly a roster that is capable of going on a run in those playoffs and winning the national title. So at the end of the day, I actually don't think for as big a game as this is, and it is a big game, it's going to be a lot of fun. The consequences of the game itself are actually very low for both of these programs.
You know what? I always, if you talked to me before the season and said Ohio State's going 10-2 and losing, their two losses are against two undefeated teams ranked in the top five, I would be with you 100%. And it still could be the case, but just the way things are falling, Jeff, you could have, if that scenario happens, that Penn State beats them, you could have an undefeated Oregon, an undefeated Penn State, and a one-loss Indiana, and I'm projecting Ohio State to beat Indiana, and you could have several Southeast Conference schools with just one loss. Would a two-loss Ohio State team still make it? Now, we could talk about that next week if Penn State wins this game, but if you look around at it, boy, it will get interesting. And yes, for if you're Ryan Day, I think you're feeling the heat with this game. I think you really are. All right, let's talk a little bit about the game itself and some keys to victory. But before we do that, Jeff, and I know we often talk about some of the obvious things, you know, we may as well just say, I think the key is to score more points. But it really struck me. I was reading a national article talking about the keys for Penn State's defense. Okay, listen to this. They got to contain the running backs. Look out for Jeremiah Smith, their best wide receiver. Pressure the quarterback and tackle well. Is that not the key to win every game?
Yeah, that's a pretty good list.
Say play better.
That's a pretty good list that most coaches would agree with week in and week out. Yep, let's do all of that. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, going into the game, I really think that the line of scrimmage, and again, this isn't any great, you could say this every week as well. I just think the line of scrimmage is where this game is going to be won or lost. And it feels going in like Penn State matches up very well there. I wouldn't say they have a huge advantage overall when you look along both fronts, but I do think they have a chance to, you know, check the mark by Penn State, or at least call it even in terms of Ohio State's defensive line against Penn State's offensive line. And, you know, same thing with the other way around, Penn State's D-line against their O-line. So, you know, if Penn State can run the ball effectively, and I think going into this thing, I think Penn State will be able to. And, you know, successfully, I guess, is relative. I mean, I don't think they're going to, you know, pile up 300 yards on the ground here against Ohio State, but I think they're going to be able to grind out some important yards over the course of four quarters. And I do think Penn State, no secret here too, keeping on schedule, but if you can get into those third and five, third and three situations with the different elements that this team has offensively, I really love the opportunity there for Penn State to be able to keep sustained drives going against this Ohio State defense. And as usual, I do think this game is going to come down to the fourth quarter, who makes some plays in the clutch. It's just now we've seen Penn State make some plays in the clutch. Some different guys come through with important plays when this team needed it, whether it be Julian Fleming, obviously Tyler Warren, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, the whole list of characters. But I think you feel good, or ought to feel good if you're a Penn State fan going into this, that, yeah, you know what, when it's crunch time, Penn State has as good a chance as Ohio State of making the plays that can go win you a game.
You know, going into this game, you mentioned earlier, Ohio State dominates this series because they have the more talented team. And I believe that to be true. As you pointed out, they have a top five ranked recruiting class pretty much every year. I think the frustrating part for a Penn State fan should be that when they had the opportunities in 17, 18, when they had big leads, even double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, they found the way to lose it. So I think that's the frustrating thing against Ohio State. this year, I think once more you could say just the talent throughout the roster, Ohio State gets that check mark. But I think two key places, Jeff, and I want to get your take on it, is I think this is a situation this year, Penn State may have the better situation at quarterback than Ohio State, which is different than the last couple of years. And I think that Ohio State's offensive line, and maybe just because of injuries, but I think that offensive line is vulnerable. And those two things, I think, could be the difference for Penn State.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I go back to the matchups, and I think because of what Penn State has been doing, especially with the defensive line and the linebacking core, that is a tough matchup. And yeah, it's largely due to injuries for Ohio State, but at that left tackle spot, that's a big deal here for Penn State, and you know, the Nittany Lions need to be able to exploit that. And yeah, it's interesting. For as much talent as Ohio State stockpiled, and there was, you know, the talk of they have five great quarterbacks to choose from, at the end of the day, not only with Drew Aller, but I think Bo Prabula, you know, I know Will Howard is understandably, I mean, if I'm Will Howard, I'm carrying that chip on my shoulder too. I'm not faulting the kid, but yeah, I think if you're Penn State going into this game, would I rather have Aller and Prabula or Howard? I'd rather have Aller and Prabula. I just think that's a better combination. I think it gives your offense a better chance for success. And again, we'll see how it plays out, but yeah, I think the matchups here, again, in this particular game, while I do think Ohio State, again, if you went man for man down the roster, I think they have more talent overall on that roster. I think matchup-wise, Penn State is in a very favorable position here to be able to pull out a win on Saturday.
Okay, Jeff, we have just a little bit over a minute left to go. We need your prediction. And we need your bold prediction for this game.
So I do think Penn State ends up winning this game. I've been going back and forth in my mind all week as we get ready for the prognostications. And but I do have it Penn State 27, Ohio State 24. Perhaps ironic to some, but I do think it's a field goal that ends up being the difference here in favor of Penn State. And for my bold prediction, I will say that Penn State has two more rushing touchdowns than Ohio State in this game. So like 3-1 is what I'm expecting, but 2-0, 3-1, something like that in terms of the rushing touchdowns in Penn State's favor.
So you're looking for the ground game to be the difference. You know, Jeff, when the season started and we're making the season-long predictions, I went with 11-1 with a loss in this game.
As did I.
And maybe just, you know, a little bit of the blue and white glasses on, but this team has a different feel to it. I mentioned earlier about, you know, blowing the leads in games. I don't feel like that will be the case with this team. It feels like they have the clutch gene, like what we saw against USC. I've got the Nittany Lions 24-20. Jeff, that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy cafe tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.